I had my homily changed this week by, you might say, the will of God, and so I'm going to share with you that which God shared with me. The Israelites in the first reading do not like God's plan. They are, the line in there is something that I find very, very interesting and very attractive. They say, oh, that we might go back to Egypt and be slaves, where we sat by our flesh pots and ate. Would that we had died in the desert rather than follow you, Moses. You've left us out here to die, and we have no food. And it's at this point when it looks the bleakest, when God hasn't fed them and they're starving and they don't trust Moses and they wish they were slaves again, that God sends them this manna from heaven. See, God had this plan. I want you to repeat after me, God has a plan.
God has a plan.
God has a plan.
God has a plan.
Okay, that phrase came up so much this week, I had to share it with you. I'll tell you a couple little stories here. I have an iPad. I use it quite a bit at work, and it just froze. It was one of the newer ones. It wasn't working right, so I got online, and Apple very, very helpfully, I took it down to UPS here. They shipped it off, and by Thursday, it was back. Can you believe that? 4 days, I got the thing back. I got it out. I restored it. Still bricked. As I said, I wonder what the deal is here with this thing. And they sent me an, I didn't know if it was a new iPad or if it was the one I had before. They put a new case on it or something. So I called them, and to find out if it was the same iPad, because if it was a new one, then it's a software issue, see. So I only had that one question to ask. And normally when I call them, I get the most helpful people. They're just great. But I got this cranky guy on the phone. And it's Friday, and I was cranky myself. And I said, my name, he said, I know who you are. And I said, do you need I've got your number. And I said, I only have one question, let me do the talking, please. After the fourth interruption, for 5 years, I was on the phone with people, with the airline, helping people, and I'm really attuned to how one ought to act. And so I'm not somebody to be trifled with. I normally suffer. Let me put it this way. I solved my problem. I hung up on it. I was so riled up, and they're supposed to call you back, and he didn't. I was waiting for that email the next day to evaluate him. He got roasted. I just pointed out what I used to do and what I expect. I said, I was a paying customer. I don't know what his problem was, but anyway, I was very upset, and I closed the door in the office, actually, because I was just really quite enraged by the way I was treated. It's funny how a little thing can really affect our lives. And this is exactly what God, Lord's talking about. It's these little things we're going to see in our life evaluation. Mainly how I handled him as well as he me and this sort of thing. And so the next call I made was to Lifeline Screening. They're coming and I'm going to be one of the people being screened and stuff. And so I was calling them on behalf of the church. And I got this lady on the phone. And, totally different deal. And she says, you sound a little riled up. And I said, yeah, I said, I used to be like you answering these calls. And I said, I said, I had this terrible guy on the phone. He was so rude. And she said, honey, God has a plan. This is Lifeline Screening, not EWTN I'm calling or something, And so, So I said, I told her that I used to be in her shoes in a different world, and so we were talking, and anyway, she said she has that sticker on her computer. She says, whenever I don't understand what's going on, God has a plan. She said, I want you to put that on your computer. She said, Father, and I said, I never did find out what this lady's name was. Wish I got an evaluation for her. She'd have got a good one. And I said, the problem is I don't always like God's plan. She said, yeah, but in the end, God always knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Anyway, I had to share that with you. I do have that on my computer, actually, at work now. And so in thinking about that, see, God arranged, in a sense, to rescue me from my anger. And he said, you know, this is the difference in how we treat people. It makes such a difference. Look at the force for good this woman is as she goes through life. And look at the force this guy, whatever his problem was, how he probably thinks, oh, these people are all jerks I'm talking to. I wonder why. You know, you're getting what you're giving is what's happening. And, you know, it was a lesson to me, really, having been on both sides of the fence. Well, anyway, yesterday, I had Saturday evening off. I was invited to a wedding out in Tillamook, which I liked one of them I knew very well, and I decided to go out there. I don't always accept invitations like that, but I did get the Saturday off because I knew it might be a long day, and I arranged to have some dinner with some people I knew out there afterward. Well, I got on the road, you know, and gosh, everybody was trying to escape the heat yesterday. It was about a 30-minute delay where the two lanes become one down there by Grand Ron. Well, that was fine. I was expecting that. I built that into my schedule. But of course, what I forgot about was you get on 22 past Valley Junction to Hebo, and there's always, I got behind Ma and Pa Kettle going to the coast. 30 miles an hour. Look, Ma, there's a curve. We better slow down. You know, there's like 60 cars behind these people. And I'm saying, praise God. God has a plan for me. I'm not going to make the wedding, but I'm coming for nothing. You know, well, there's a Pacific City cutoff, you know. It was closed for a long time because they were paving it. I said, oh, God, please let this person turn off. And, you know, she did. Or they did. And 20 cars went with them. Everyone but the car in front of me. There was a huge pile of them behind me. And they turned off. And I saw the guy in front of me was driving, and he goes like this, yes! So the wagon train goes off that way. So we got up to the speed limit. And so I got there. And, the wedding, it was a good wedding, but it was 2.5 hours long. And everything was in Latin. So it was a long wedding. And I said, I wonder, you know, it was a long day at that point. And I was wondering kind of if I made the right decision, because I really did, I love the people, but, you know, it's a long day and stuff. And I'm sitting there, and it occurred to me that 11 years ago that weekend, I told those people goodbye. And I'm sitting there looking out, and I thought, gosh, 11 years. And it didn't look like, I didn't know what the plan for God was for me. I just knew they called and said, we'd like you to go to Kaiser. And I thought, wow, I don't know what to think of this. But see, God had a plan, but I didn't know what it was. Now we're 11 years later. God had a plan. And so I thought, this is pretty cool. I'm really glad to be here this weekend. It was a good plan. And so I got out of there 2.5 hours later, and I said, yes. You know. and what do? I get a call from my former secretary. She had been almost died, and she lives in Arizona now, and I talked to her about once a year. And she called. I was right there in front of Sacred Heart Church. And I said, you'll never guess. You know, do you realize I'm in Tillamook? And she's in, you realize I'm at Sacred Heart Church when you called me, right, looking at your office? And she said, Father, God has a plan. I said, yeah. And she said, that is so not a coincidence. You know, it was funny. God gives us these little signs that he's with us on our journey through the desert, you know, like the Israelites, you're moaning and groaning because we have no food or because of Ma and Pa Kettle or something, you know, and the reality is that God has his eye on everything, and he lets us know, and every so often, you know, I'm really with you here, you know, I'll let you know. And so then I got up out to dinner afterward. There was somebody there who helped me out a lot. We had a great RCIA there. I was teaching the whole thing there, and last couple years I met somebody at Fred Meyer that went to our church, and I found out she used to be the DRE, and so she I got her back in. You know, she came to class and she had all these wonderful insights. I remember she used to work at Fred Meyer at the in the natural foods place, and she I caught her once picking up raisins off the floor. People had stepped on them, and she said, you know, I used to really dislike this intensely, and then God talked to me, and he said, you know, the raisins are my will for you, and that God works through these little things that even the in picking up a little raisin, I can glorify God while I'm doing my job. And I thought, I need you for my class. That if you got insights like that, I want you. And she was wonderful. That one of the best memories of my priesthood was teaching that class. We had like 80 people coming from the parish, the small parish, and stuff. And so anyway, she was there. She'd had 8 surgeries. I won't go into the details, but I thought she had to quit everything because every 3 months she has a surgery. And I said to her, how did you get through that? Oh my gosh. She looked at me and she said, my motto is, God has a plan. Repeat after me, God has a plan. God has a plan. Now, my problem is, of course, is that half the time I don't like God's plan. Anybody feel this way about it? Okay, thank you. The rest of you are not being honest. God's plan involves suffering. Every reading in the Bible, this world is not a picnic. I mean, it's great when we have, there were really great times yesterday. The moon yesterday was, did you even see the moon last night? Oh my gosh, that was the prettiest moon I've seen in a long time. And I thought, coming home at 9 o'clock, I thought, I am so blessed to be driving home and with the moon in front of me for about an hour. It was just beautiful. But along with that, there comes the suffering, you know, whether it's somebody driving 30 miles an hour for an hour or whatever, that's very trivial. But there's a lot of things we go through that do not have immediate answers. We only see in the rearview mirror God has a plan. And, you know, going back to what I was going to say in my homily a little bit, I've led a lot of pilgrimages. I've been on a lot of pilgrimages. Life is a pilgrimage. And I tell people, you know, these people in the gospel, Jesus looks at them and he says, what are you seeking for? You're looking to fill up your bread, your stomach with the bread I gave you. You know, we're eternal beings. The only question is where we're going to choose to go at the end of our lives. You know, we're already living in eternity, and nothing on earth is going to satisfy us. I don't care if you have all the money in the world, we can't buy our way into happiness because we can't fill an eternal heart with temporal things. And so we can search for bread forever, and we're going to keep asking for it. There's always something more. You know, and even the iPad that broke, you know, and I have to put it together manually. I can't use a backup. And you know what? I'm throwing out, like, all these apps and stuff I don't need anymore. Cleaning house. And the Lord said, that's what I want to do with you and your soul. Let's clean house a little bit. You know, God works through everything. And I think he's speaking to you the same way he speaks to me. Look for those little coincidences, like my secretary, former one, that called. I was so jazzed by that, and I said, you know, God is at work in this. And God was at work 11 years ago, and God put me here, and God does this. But in God, the reality today, I don't always like what God has planned. And maybe I won't know the answer to that till the end of my life. But oftentimes, when it involves suffering or sacrifice, we look the other way and wonder if God really knows what he's doing. And this is exactly what the first reading is about. And actually, this series of readings will end in 2 weeks with people walking away from Jesus because they don't understand his plan. He says, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and they think he's a cannibal, and they walk away. And he's talking about the Eucharist. So today, God wants to feed us with his eternal word, all three readings, and to feed us with his eternal body and blood. This is what lasts forever. That and the relationships we have with each other, how we affect each other. You know, the guy on the phone that was rude and the incredible evangelizing woman of Lifeline, whose name I do not know and who affected me so deeply. And we've been in both roles. We've done it. We've experienced it. God is with us in both of them. So we ask God, Lord, that you'll help us to understand your plan, or at least to thank you in advance. If we can just learn to thank God while we're going through something and not just wait till we see how it comes out, God is glorified as we go through our lives. So we have to ask, Lord, help us to understand your will. Repeat after me, God has a plan. God has a plan for me. Amen.